Chapter 10. Hakeem Randall blew away all the competition in the talent show and walked away with a grand prize, a trophy. Darcy did not even try to be among the first to congratulate him. Kids swarmed around him so thickly that he looked like a celebrity. There was even a local newspaper reporter there to interview him. Darcy told herself that it was not Hakeem's fault that her heart raced so far ahead of his. Darcy did not share her hurt with anybody. Not even Tara. She just finished her science work in the library and walked home. On the way, she thought about calling Brisana for a trip to the mall, since Mom didn't have to work today, and Darcy had a whole afternoon with nothing to do. But when she turned onto her block, she saw her father's Toyota in front of the apartment. As Darcy got near, Jamie leaned out of the car's front window. "Dad wants to show us something, Darcy. Mom said it was okay." Darcy got in the car and they drove a few blocks, stopping at a pale yellow stucco house with a red tile roof. Vines with brilliant red leaves covered a trellis in the front yard.
"Cool house. You know somebody who lives here?" Jamie said.
"No, not personally, but I do know the owners are renting it with an option to buy," Dad explained. "It has 3 bedrooms and a den that could be made into a bedroom. 2 bathrooms.
"Are you talking about what I think you're talking about?" Jamie asked excitedly.
Dad smiled carefully.
I'm hoping, he said.
"Can we look inside?" Jamie asked.
"Yeah, come on. The real estate lady gave me the key," Dad said, leading the way to the solid front door.
The house was old, but it was in good condition. You could see that whoever lived here loved the house and took care of it. Darcy followed Jamie down the hallway to the back bedroom. A large window looked out into the backyard where there was a little stone fountain with stone elves perched around it.
"Oh, Grandma would love this," Jamie sighed.
"It's only a dream right now, Princess," Dad said. "Maybe a pipe dream. I'm going to talk to your mom and we'll see."
"Darcy," Jamie called moments later, "come look at the bathroom. It's shining and it's got pink tile."
"Could we afford it?" Darcy asked her father as they stood in the front hallway, ready to leave.
"Yes, it wouldn't cost much more than you're paying now for the apartment. I'm doing so well at work, they'd let me sign for it," Dad said.
"We could still go to Bluford, right?" Jamie asked.
"Sure,"
Dad said.
He got real quiet then.
Finally, he said,
"You know what the prettiest sight in the whole world is? It's a house at night with the windows all lit up and sounds of family. Kids laughing, music, just folks talking. A family there, you know? When I was alone in New York, I'd pass houses at night and look into the windows, those little squares of warm light. Just looking at them and knowing a family was inside, I would think of what I'd done and what I'd ruined. I about died of shame. Guess you can say that now. I'm hoping to make up for lost time."
After Dad locked the house, they stopped for ice cream. On the way home, everybody was quiet. It was as if they were close to something wonderful and fragile. Something so delicate, even the sound of their voices could damage it, make it disappear. When Dad dropped the girls off, they let themselves into the apartment without saying a word. On Saturday afternoon, the weather was so nice that Darcy took Grandma to the park again. Darcy was sitting on the stone bench reading a short story for English when a familiar voice said,
"Hi, I called your house and Jamie told me you'd come down here."
"Oh, hi," Darcy said, beaming. "Grandma, this is Hakeem from school."
"Hello,"
Hakeem said, gently taking Grandma's small wrinkled hand in his strong hand.
"So nice to meet you," Grandma said.
"What are you doing tomorrow, Darcy?" Hakeem asked.
"Nothing. I have to be home," Darcy answered. "Mom has a lot of stuff to do, and then she has to go to work."
"So what if I rented a movie and came over with a pizza or something?"
"You want to do that?" Darcy asked in surprise.
"Yeah,"
Hakeem said. "I'd have to leave the movie sometimes and check on Grandma."
Hakeem smiled.
"But the rest of the time you could watch the movie with me, and eat some pizza, right?
Sure, Darcy said, smiling. Hakeem looked at Darcy intently.
When my dad was going through chemo, we had to work around some things, too. Everybody had to pitch in. So if you have to pop in and out of the room while the movie's on, no sweat. That's what they made the stop button for on the VCR, right?
A smile spread so wide across Darcy's face that she could not even control it. Hakeem walked with Darcy as she pushed Grandma's wheelchair home. They rode up in the elevator and had started towards Darcy's apartment when loud, angry voices coming from the closed door stopped them. Darcy's parents were in there shouting at each other. Darcy froze, not sure what to do. Hakeem suggested,
"Let me take your grandmother down the hall. We'll go out on that little balcony and catch some air, okay?"
Grandma was dozing, so Darcy nodded. Alone, she drew closer to the apartment door. Voices came crashing through the thin wood.
"You lied and cheated, and I don't trust you," Mom yelled.
"I admitted I done wrong, Maddie, and I swear it won't happen again. I love you and the girls. Let me make it up to you for what I did," Dad pleaded.
"Carl Wills, you are no good. No man who runs out on his family is any good. I don't want to take that chance again. I don't want to put my heart in your hands again so you can just stomp on it anytime you please. I'm too old, Carl. Too old to take risks."
Mom's voice was breaking.
"You're not old, Maddie. You're as beautiful now as you were the first time I saw you at Lincoln High. Baby, you walked in like a queen at the prom."
"Don't try to scam me with sweet talk, Carl. Don't you be trying that phony charm, you hear? It worked when I was a teenager, but it won't work now."
"Baby, I'll spend the rest of my natural life making it up to you and the girls. I swear before God, Maddie, don't take my last chance to be a decent man. Don't turn me away. I swear you won't ever regret giving me another chance."
Dad's voice shook with emotion. Darcy's legs grew weak as she stood at the door. She leaned against the wall. It all hung on these moments. It would happen now, she thought, or it would never happen at all. Darcy heard her mother weeping, then loud sobs. Then they trailed off. Darcy could not see her parents through the locked door, but she knew what was happening. It was her father's big round chest that had gently muffled her mother's sobs. Darcy turned and ran down the hall to where Hakeem waited with Grandma. Grandma was half awake now on the balcony.
"I hear birds singing," Grandma whispered.
Hakeem looked at Darcy.
"Bad?"
he asked her.
"I think it might be good," Darcy said.
Hakeem gave Darcy a hug that made her catch her breath. Then Darcy leaned down and kissed Grandma's cheek.
"I hear the birds too, Grandma," she said.
And even though there were no birds near the little balcony, Darcy did somehow hear them, throwing their voices and their hearts to an uncertain wind, flying on faith.
"Like all of us," Darcy thought.
This has been a Townsend Press production from the Bluefoot series of books, A Matter of Trust by Anne Schraff and read by Shayna Walker. This audiobook was produced by Audiobright and features the music of Kenyon Whittington. For more information, visit our website at townsendpress.com.